I'm just outside Edenderry and I'm talking to Eamon Tully. And Eamon, I'm talking to you about your days in the Clondalkin paper mills. But where did you come from originally?
I was born on the Nace Road, up beside where the Green Isle Hotel is now. That was all green fields. And my father and my mother came from Athlone, and he was the steward on the farm for a Mr. John O'Brien. And we were actually there till 1947, the year of the big snow. And my father moved to the Presentation Convent in Clondalkin as their gardener. I grew up on a farm, and there was farming blood in me. But my father never wanted me to do farming or any of his sons. It was a seven-day week job, and never known what the weather was going to turn out like for crops or whatever. So I was sent to Lucan Tech when I left school. I went to St. Michael's in Inchicore, and I went over to Lucan Tech in 1951 and left there. It was 2 years there, got the group cert, and started work 1953 in the lab of Clondalkin paper mills. It was very hard on a young man at that age to walk into the paper mills and to walk down to the machine room and hear the noise of the machines and people working and a lot of... But I must turn around and say that the girls in the laboratory were lovely, and all the workers in Clondalkin paper mills were so good to the young chaps that were there serving their time.
Can you describe to me the laboratory there that you worked in? What exactly went on there?
They were involved in testing the paper. All the paper that was manufactured had to be tested before it was passed out, before it was allowed to go out. It was tested for tensile strength, and it was tested for thickness. It was tested for that it would be suitable if they were doing printing for print. They manufactured all types of paper. It's very difficult at this stage of my life. It's what, 1953. It's over 50 years. It's hard to remember, but I know that they did news. They did newsprint. They did craft paper. They did Manila paper, and they did a range of all different types of coloured paper. Mm. They dyed. They used the dyes. So there was actually the beating loft was the main function, and then from the beating loft, the pulp went down onto the two machines. They had an MG machine and they had a Ford Rainier machine.
And so how many people worked in your department there?
Well, roughly, I would say there must have been between the day workers, and there was shift workers, and there was the saw, and there was the reeler room. They had it all. They started from the raw material coming in. And most of the pulp was actually imported at the time, but my first knowledge of it was I got the job under a Dr. Sherry. Dr. Sherry interviewed the young lads, and the first thing he did, Dr. Sherry did, was he gave us all a book on how paper was made, the manufacturer. So he said, go home and read that. So that was the first. It was very, very interesting. It gave you the history of how paper came about and so forth. And
then, I mean, you had no training as such. So was your apprenticeship really at the beginning of your time when you went in there?
But basically, It wasn't a trade as such. It was skilled, but it wouldn't be recognised. Like when I started in the laboratory, I could have stayed in the laboratory, but I would have needed to have to go for further education, night classes, because of the job of the and so forth. You needed more training. So eventually what happened in my case was after 2 years, you couldn't go on shift work or anything, or you couldn't go onto the machines until you were 18 years of age. And after 2 years, and you must remember now that I was terrified of these big machines. I surely was. But I was lucky. One chap left to go to England, and it was on the affluent system, the Save Alls they called it. So that meant a vacancy occurred around 1955, and they asked me would I be interested in doing it, and I was, because it was involved mixing chemicals and getting involved on water softeners and the filtering system. So if you could understand that the effluent, they called it the effluent. In other words, the water from the machines, when the machines were going, they were using chemicals and they were using pulp and all, and there was waste. But the waste couldn't go down into the Camac River. It had to be filtered, and it had to be... And they did it through, there was actually three types of filtering. There was flotation, filtration and settling. And I was on the flotation, where we used chemicals to float the fibre, and there were skimmers coming down and they skimmed it, and then it was pumped back up to the beaten loft.
I see. And so in order for this paper mills to work, it had to have a river nearby, and that's why the mills was built there in that location, isn't it?
That's correct, Morris. That will be very correct. There were actually the Camac River was supplying up to about four. I'll tell you, Saggart was number one, Clondalkin was number two, Killeen was number three. And then you had the one down in Lansdowne Valley, and that was number four. And they were all fed off the Camac River.
Now, when you say the Camac River, that's...
It came from around Bridges down through Saggart and down that way. So you needed... They had a pond, and you needed water, a lot of water. They used a tremendous amount of water.
Yes, indeed. And it had to be clean, it had to be... pure water, didn't it? Pure fresh.
What happened was, in the rainy weather, there'd be a lot of muck and all coming down the river, and they had the pond, and they had huge big filters where it was actually pumped in through these filters, and the greaser man was in charge of that. I was called Save All Man. And there was three of us, three shifts. I was one of them. There was three greasers. But the greaser man was involved in pumping water through these filters, and then when they would clog up, he would reverse it back and clean the water. The Save All Men, making the water soft. We had to mix chemicals so that in the turbines and all that the water wouldn't corrode them. There was such huge amount involved, but every one of us had our own specific job, and we all had three shifts. So there was what I would say now. My two mates. One of them was Johnny Maguire, and the other was Jimmy Dean, and I relieved Johnny if I was coming in on the 8 to 4. I relieved Johnny. Jimmy Dean then relieved me. And then Johnny relieved Jimmy Dean. And that's the way in rotation.
And who was in charge there?
There was a foreman. There was three shift foremen. And I condemned those. I condemned Hugh Hurrell from, he was from Northern Ireland. There was Alec Hazel, Scotchman from Scotland, and there was Mick Muldowney, and he was a local man. He was from Clondalkin, and he was my foreman, and a lovely man to work under, even though he had to put up with an awful lot with me.
Well, yes, and just to explain to me then the management of the Clondalkin paper mills. Who was the managing director?
Managing director was Mr. Cusick, and an engineer, and he actually started up the mills. It was closed, and he came on board, and a wonderful man for the mills. He knew his job.
And who was on the board then?
There would have been Mr. O'Brien and on the board of directors, but they weren't involved.
Mr. O'Brien from Edenderry.
From Edenderry, yeah, he was now. I believe he owned half of Edenderry at the time. But we didn't. The workers wouldn't have known him. Mr. Cusick, and then you had engineers. You had on my end of it, where I was working closely with them, would be Dr. Sherry, a Dr. Hayden, and a Dr. O'Connor in the lab, because on the effluent system we were connected, that they would come down and check that the save valves were working correctly, that the water was clear going out.
Yeah, because the pollution damage, tell me what kind of chemicals were used.
We were using all kinds of chemicals, a lot of dyes and a lot of the starches, and a lot of chemicals went into the furnishing of and the manufacture of the different types of paper.
Was there a dangerous chemical going in?
There would have been. The danger was when at wash-up times I was using sulfuric acid, and you would have to wash down. There was big tanks, and they were all, there were tiled tanks now, huge, say thousands of gallons of water,
And where was that going?
That was from the machines. Once the machines, there was a pit underneath, and to explain what really happened was that the pulp and the chemicals were mixed up in the beaten loft, and when it was ready, that was pumped down to a hopper, and the hopper then allowed to flow out onto a wire mesh. And it drained some of the water off it'd be raw pulp, it'd be wet pulp, and it'd be going down. And they had sprays on either side to trim it so that you had an even edge, and that went down into the pit. So there was some pulp going down and water into the pit. That was pumped back to tanks, to the tanks that the save all people. We were operating, so we had to, and there was one for each machine. There was a save valve for the forward and rear, and there was a save valve for the MG, and we had to operate both of these. But that water, then they would be using some of that water back again. It recycled back up to the beaten loft. They used it back down again, and then the excess was. We took care of the excess then, and we skimmed the pulp off, the fibre off the top. You get a layer, and that was pumped back, and the clear water then went down to the river.